Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this Epiphany Sunday, the day in which we celebrate the wise men's visit to the Christ child. If you haven't already done so, please do fill out the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the road to your neighbors. If this is your first time visiting Berea Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us. We'll be in the back of the church following our service, shaking hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd be quite honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. Remember that right after our service, right about noon, everyone is welcome to attend the turkey noodle lunch in the fellowship hall, which is served in appreciation for everyone's help in the turkey dinner back in early November. And in the January board meeting, we'll follow that in the upper room right after the lunch. Elders and deacons, please do, if you haven't already today, please attend one of the two remaining training sessions, which will be next Sunday during the Sunday school hour, or tomorrow, Monday, January 7th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Please also read through the bulletin announcement pages to learn about the other events taking place in the fellowship here at Berea Christian Church in the upcoming weeks and months, and also read about the results for the Warmth Tree Drive that will benefit many individuals and families this coming winter. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. How wonderful are the things the Lord does. All he does is full of honor and majesty. His righteousness is eternal. Let us sing hymn number 16, All Stanzas. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnets sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise to thee an altar, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, how I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Creator God, you are the God of all beginnings, of fresh starts, of new chances, and all things made new. As we look ahead to this new year, we also give thanks for the year past with all its joys and sorrows. We're not the same people we were a year ago, and we are aware once more, O God, of the fleetingness of time an awareness that calls us to make the most of every moment that you've given us. As we look ahead, we ask that you help us to accept the difficult parts of our lives. Help us overcome the fears that would keep us from living life abundantly. Help us to make the changes we need to make. Help us to let go of past regrets and failures so that we might move forward in newness, that we might become the persons you would have us to be. Come now, Lord, into our midst. Be with us as we celebrate all things old and new. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing Strong, Gentle Children on page 511.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. You need a boost? Okay. There you go. Oh, look at our sanctuary this morning. Kind of looks a little bare, doesn't it? We don't have all our pretty poinsettias out here, and we don't have our tree, all of our lights and our candles. It's all gone. It's all packed up, put away. It's all gone. Put away. Put it in a box. Pack Christmas up and put it away. That's okay, because that's not really what Christmas is about anyway, is it? Now, what is Christmas about? What? Jesus. And why did God come down in the form of a baby, Jesus, to be on earth? Why? Why did he do that? Because he loves us. Yeah. Because he loves us. He loves us so much. He's going to do that. He's going to come in. And the thing is we get to keep that love all the time. Christmas tree has to get put away. Why do they have to put the Christmas tree away? Because it would get very dusty if we didn't. And we just get it out once a year to celebrate. But we get to keep God's love all the time. Every day. Every minute of every day. Okay? Is that okay with you? Good. It's okay with her, so we're good. Yeah. And not only that, that was a first present that of Christmas is God's love. And the thing about that present is we get to give that to everybody else. We get to take that special gift that God gave us, and we get to give it to everybody. We get to give it to all of you and all of them out there. Yeah. And you know what the best thing about packing Christmas up and put it away is? I do. And you may not agree with me, but I know they will. Y'all have to go back to school. Yeah. Okay, can we have a little bit of a prayer? Can we have a little prayer? Shh. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the precious gift that you gave us in the baby Jesus, in the coming to us in the form of that baby and bringing us so much love. Let us always remember to keep that love deep in our hearts and to share it with everyone we meet every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this new week, I'd like for you to please remember Grace Kimmerling. She has been moved from the hospital to the McCrite Plaza Care Center over in Briarcliff. So please remember Grace and her husband Gene in your prayers. We continue to remember Jerry Chester's cousin Ben with the concerns he has with kidneys as a consequence of some antibiotics. And we want to continue to remember Michelle Jacobo, and we praise God that she has just found out the latter part of this week, that this past week, that the infection count for her is zero. That's really good news. We praise God for that. Got that out of the way. And the chemotherapy treatments are to begin Wednesday of this week. So we know that's another battle and another journey. But we pray that all will continue to go in a progressive way. So please remember Michelle and Jesus and everyone in the family. We're certainly grateful to the ladies and men of the church who helped out with the dinner for the services we had here yesterday for Ida Reagan, and certainly remember her family in our prayers. We lift up Sheila Killian. And Sheila, we're delighted you're here this morning. God bless you. Glad you're here. Praise God. We also have been remembering John and Dorinda Hoag. They are off with, again, many of these various craft-type shows and events of that sort. And so they're going to be gone a number of weeks with that. But we still continue to lift up John in the midst of treatments for him. We lift up Betty Barnes for the treatment she's been undergoing for cancer. And Klaus and Connie, we're glad you're back with us. God bless you. We're certainly mindful of the loss of your mother, Hannah. Klaus, we just keep you in prayer. And I think also, Perla, we continue to remember your nieces. As we know, several of them have been having some significant concerns over the last several months. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with thankfulness of heart and soul that we assemble in your house of worship this Epiphany Sunday. On this day set aside to remember the wise men from the East who traversed across nations to offer their gifts, we remember that their gifts were costly and also thoughtful. Gold, the gift for the King of Kings, frankincense, the gift for the priest of all priests, and myrrh, the substance for embalming, given to the one who would one day die for the sins of humanity. observing Simeon and Anna as they too were privileged to gaze upon the Christ child 40 days after his birth, knowing with certainty that he was indeed the Messiah, we realize that these two elderly, faithful followers of likely modest means, they had no gifts to offer the king or the priest or the one who would offer his life. Yet, offer they did what they had to offer, and that was their voices of praise and prophecy and thanksgiving to you, O God, and a determined testimony to others. On this Epiphany Sunday, as we are seated in this house of worship, we recognize that few of us could have afforded to offer the Christ child the grand gifts of gold, frankincense, or myrrh. But in the depth of humility, O God, help us to freely offer what we do have. May we, like Simeon, offer praise and celebration. May we, like Anna, strive to tell others of Christ. For in offering of these gifts, we can know then that on Epiphany Sunday, as well as any other day, we are offering the best we have to the Christ child. Guide us in these endeavors as we also remember the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
We have two scriptures this morning. The first is from Matthew, the second chapter, verses 9 through 11, and they may be found in your pew Bible on page 880. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Our second reading is from Luke, the second chapter, verses 36 through 38. May be found in your pew Bible on page 936. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
An epiphany is an aha moment when one realizes something significant, like when you figure out how to do a complicated math problem or how a puzzle works, or like when you were really a young child and you realized, finally, just how easy it is to tie your shoes. But in Christianity, Epiphany is the aha moment when the wise men met the Christ child. Aha! We have seen God in Christ. Imagine each of us rising up from our places and stepping toward a grand table spread before us at the front of the sanctuary. And as we approach the table, there is a chair for each and every one of us. As we take our place and glance across the table, we see him, Jesus the Christ. And as our consciousness is captivated by the glance of his eyes toward ours, the moment is indeed our epiphany. Aha! We are captivated by the genuineness of Christ's loving presence as we realize just how much he cares for every one of us. Let us come to Christ's table and feel his comforting, reassuring presence as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's table. We will sing all stanzas of hymn number 411, "For the Bread Which You Have Broken."
For the bread which you have broken, for the wine which you have poured, for the words which you have spoken, now we give you thanks, O Lord. By these pledges that you love us, by your gift of peace restored, by your call to heaven above us, consecrate our lives, O Lord. In your service, Lord, defend us, help us to obey your word. In the world to which you send us, let your will be done, O Lord.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Doug leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we come to your table this morning with thankful hearts, thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We also come to this table with our joys and our sorrows, and know that through his death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Bless these emblems as we partake of them today, and let us start renew in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The year is young, but I imagine that many of you have already begun to write checks or transfer funds for any number of monthly or annual obligations. And how difficult has it been for you to remember to put a 9 at the end of that date instead of an 8? I know I've messed up several times. Had to void a check yesterday just because I got it all wrong, right? But among the Jewish people in Jesus' day, offerings were dutifully collected every Friday of every week of every year to provide for the needs of the widows, the orphans, those who were unemployed, or those who were underemployed. And for your continuing commitment to the ongoing ministries of Berry Christian Church, every week, every year, we are indeed grateful. As Gail leads us in a word of prayer, may we receive your tithes and offerings today.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for seeing us through yet another year. It was filled with joy, laughter, and sorrow, but it was one that you were with us. And as we go into this year, we know too that you will be with us every step of the way. We thank you that we can bring at this time a gift of our portion that you have given to us, and we thank you that we are able to do so with a joyful heart. Please bless these gifts and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Did you notice anything different about the sanctuary when you walked in today? I see a few nodding heads. That's because I think you all understand what I'm talking about. You know, we walk in and think, wow. What happened to everything, right? You know, I think it's always so wonderful to see the sanctuary decorated up and literally filled up with wonderful elements and symbols of the Advent and Christmas season. You know, isn't it wonderful? I just look forward to that. But, you know, when we
we put everything away. We thought, oh, here we are. Back to just the regular stuff. And it's no wonder that in the church calendar, the time period that we are entering into after Epiphany, which is today, is what's called ordinary time, right? Things just go back to the old routine, you know, and the tax man's coming, right? You know, oh, we think, oh, gee, what happened to the fun times of the holidays, right? But yet, I hope even in the midst of ordinary time, that tremendous joy, that great joy of experiencing the Christ child carries forward for you in all that you do and say in the new year. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and holy God, we do give thanks for the day and the privilege to be here in your house on this Epiphany Sunday. And as we understand more about Anna in the Scriptures, may we be so compelled as she was to share the news of Christ's presence. It's in his name that we offer this prayer to you. Amen. Dear poor Anna, the women of the community must have mused with one another as they gathered their water from the community well. Oh, it's so sad what happened to her so many years ago, one woman expressed, while another remarked, oh, yes, indeed, how tragic. To be married only 7 years and now widowed all these decades later. No children, no grandchildren to care for her in her older years. The woman who may have known dear poor Anna would have thought that there must have been something terrible about her family's past. Somebody must have sinned greatly for Anna to be plagued with such loss and such absence in her life. In biblical times, nothing seemed to be more of a dreadful curse. It was not considered a round of bad luck. It was really considered to be some kind of curse from God for you to have so many tragedies or lost elements of life to happen to you. And in fact, the idea that this was a curse from God was so prevalent that it is likely that many of the women who would have been in the circle of the neighborhood in which Anna lived, or where she resided, or where she was from in the city of Jerusalem, that many of them would have kept her at arm's distance for fear that somehow her plight could somehow infect their lives as well. So imagine how isolating that kind of life could have been for dear poor Anna. Yet let us look at the scripture text. This very brief portion of the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter that Phil read to you earlier. We look at what's considered a combination of verse 36 and 37. Never understood that. Why every once in a while in the Bible you have a one number dash another number. It's like, oh, why didn't they split it up, you know, somewhere? But anyway, 36, 37. There was a very old prophetess, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel. There you go. We'll go with that. Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and now was 84 years old. One thing you have to understand is that the average lifespan in this time period was about 35. Now to live to be 84 in that era of time, I mean, you were just really considered old. We don't think it's so old anymore, do we? Not anymore. Let's look at the verse closer. A very old prophetess, a widow named Anna. Anna likely married young, which was the custom of the day. We're probably talking about her teenage years. formidable time period. She was only married 7 years, and for some reason her husband died. You know, was it illness? Was it an accident? We don't know. What we do know is that she never remarried. Why not? We don't know. And also, during this time period, it was a custom of the day that if a woman lost her husband, especially in the early years of her life, it was a custom of the day for a brother of the deceased husband to actually bring the widowed lady into his household so that she wouldn't have the plight of starving to death, potentially. You know, because women relied upon the resources of their husbands or their or the patriarchal side of the family. In other words, if not the husband, the father's side of the family in order to live. That didn't happen either. We don't know why. Maybe, was there no other brothers? We don't know. And she was a widow lady who had endured a simple life, and yet in the eyes of many, her life would have been perceived in the Jewish community as being rather meaningless, for she had no children to care for when she was healthy. She had no grandchildren to care for when she was healthy. And now that she was getting into those progressively aging time period of her life, what's the deal? Nobody to do what? Care for her. She was the daughter of Phanuel. Is that what you say? I got to get that right. What does the name mean? It means face of God in the Hebrew language. But what would have happened in the community is many people would have said, oh my, you know, she's the daughter of Phanuel. Oh, we all know that means face of God, but you know, it really looks like the face of God is turned away from Anna. Dear poor Anna. She was also from the tribe of Asher, the text tells us, not the tribe of Levi. If she'd been from that tribe, well, that would have been a good thing because, you know, she came from the tribe of the priests and prophets. No, she's from the tribe of Asher, one of the 10 lost tribes, lost to the Hebrew nation back in 722 B.C. when the nation of Assyria came forward and just wiped those tribes off the face of the earth, took everybody as slaves. Ah, dear poor Anna. She can't even come from a tribe that has significance, but a lost tribe instead. Again, the text. There was a very old prophetess, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. What do you have to understand? You know, we read that. We don't quite get the depth of meaning. If we were Jewish in that biblical time period, we would have understood that every portion of that section of Scripture was not complimentary, but instead it just went to show just how terrible of a plight dear poor Anna lived in. She's been a widow all these years. No children, no grandchildren. God has even turned his face from her. And she doesn't even come from a tribe that amounts to anything. Yet, you know what's really interesting about Anna is that she could have chosen to be bitter. She could have chosen to isolate herself. She could have chosen to say, oh, well, you know, my plight is so bad, I just don't have any reason to live. But instead of going that route, as it is for all of us, regardless of what our circumstances, whatever they are, we have a choice as to how we're going to respond to those circumstances, don't we? We really have a choice. You know, it's years ago, I served a church where we did all the interior remodeling, or not remodeling, but all the interior trim work of new homes for Habitat for Humanity. And I was the one who kind of trained all of our church men and women who helped with that. And away we'd go. I mean, we could go in one day and put in all the trim work in one Saturday. Oh, you know, we did a good job of that. But now this was before the days of those nail guns where you go ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. And everything was done by hand, and I'm over there going bang, 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 bang. Some little finished nail on a piece of trim, and wham! Boy, I mean, I busted up my thumb. Something terrible. Can't you feel it just by me saying it? And I mean, I was just buckled over. I just went straight to the floor, and I'm on the floor all kind of crunched up, and I'm going, ooh! And, you know, I finally kind of collected myself, and I looked up. There were four men from my church standing there looking at me, you know, just looking down at me. And I looked up, and I said, oh, it's a good thing I didn't say anything bad. You see, it's a choice. We have a choice to make. Anna chose not to be downtrodden. Instead, the text tells us that Anna chose to embrace the heritage of her family's name, Phanuel, and to believe that the face of God certainly was looking upon her, not away from her. The text of Numbers chapter 6, verse 25 and 26 says, the Lord makes his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, those words are often used as a phrase for the closing of a worship service, as a measure of grace, right? And so it's wonderful to think in terms of what it must be like to have Anna believe that God truly was looking upon her. And so as the text tells us, beginning there with verse 37, she never left the temple. Day and night she worshiped God, fasting and praying, rather than to walk away from God. Instead, Anna chose to look toward God in spite of the plight of her personal circumstances. How did Anna survive? You know, we don't know. Maybe it was the fact that her husband had some kind of financial resource that she was able to hang on to. Maybe it was the case that her father somehow had some kind of nominal financial resource. It's quite likely that she probably didn't have a lot of resource, because if she were, she probably wasn't living in the midst of the temple, if you will. But somehow, somewhere, she was able to make it, day in and day out. And yet, what is so wonderful is Anna, like Simeon, chose to seek out godliness in her life in spite of the circumstances. And in so doing, what we find out in the text is that she is blessed. Somehow she also got some word from the guidance of the Holy Spirit that this particular day, this particular time, be at the temple, be on the grounds at this particular place, for you will be blessed. And was she not? Yes, she was able to experience the Christ child as Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated to God on the 40th day as the firstborn child of Joseph's family. All of this came together, not by happen chance, but by the guidance of God's Spirit. She beheld the wondrous presence of the Christ child, and here, a woman who was never a mother herself. I bet, the text doesn't tell us, but I bet she scooped up Jesus in her arms too and gazed upon his presence. And so we know at that moment, truly, Anna was filled with great, great joy, as had Simeon, and as had all the other people that we've talked about during this series of messages who were privileged to experience Christ, the Christ child, firsthand. But with this blessing, what did Anna do with it? With the blessing that the wise men had, as we acknowledge their presence on this Epiphany Sunday, what did they do after they experienced the Christ child? Well, the text tells us that they went back to their homeland in the East. But do you think they kept the knowledge of Christ all to themselves? Not likely. We don't know what they really did, but I cannot help but imagine that for the rest of their lives they continued to share the testimony of what they had experienced. And what we find out from Anna here as we look at the text, verse 38, it says that she spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. As she gave back Jesus to Mary and Joseph, she's still about the temple grounds saying, look, this is the Messiah. See, go and see the Messiah. You know the story of our hope in Israel, that the Messiah would one day come, and here he is. And so, likely, rest of her life, she shares the joy with those who are seeking to be free. You know, for you and I, we know a lot of people who don't really know Jesus very well. I hope through this Advent season, you really have begun to really experience the aha moment of knowing that in Christ you are seeing the very essence of God living among us, because God loves each and every one of us that much. Oh, that should bring us great joy deep within our souls. But now the question is, what do you do with that? Do you just keep it to yourself? No. Share the news through your actions, through your love, through the testimony of your life. Share the news. God is among us in Christ our Lord. For indeed there are many who are searching and need to hear of Christ's love. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today is your day to come forward in a way that I know you can come forward and accept Christ and be redeemed. Or maybe today is your day you need to come forward and become a part of the fellowship of our congregation this morning. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 164, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. We're going to sing all stanzas, please. Hymn number 164, please. May we stand and sing.
Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Listen now to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him now, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you hear of endless bliss. Joy, joy, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Peace, peace. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain the everlasting hall. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We want to remind you we have the turkey noodle lunch right after the service. Hope that you will stay and join us. Hope you'll enjoy that time of fellowship. It's a way to simply express a word of thanks to everyone who helped out with the turkey dinner this past November and October, actually, also. But a wonderful time of fellowship for all of us. And we don't have to bring anything. It's already ready, right? So please stay. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks. And as we depart, we know your Spirit is with us. Guide us today and always as we journey forward with the new week. It's in Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.